ですよ。
Congregation or friends or family that you would like to bring along, but I would encourage you all to come.
come out and just share this time of worship together as we're in the Advent season and preparing for the coming of our Lord. This Thursday evening as well, we'll be having our Christmas dinner at 5:30. Ruthie Rawson back there still selling tickets. We do need sort of a ticket count so we know how much food to prepare and how many people to expect. So if you could today in the fellowship hall, find Ruthie and get your tickets so we can know how much food we need to prepare for folks. Next Sunday, a reminder that our Christmas cantata is next Sunday at the 10 a.m. service. So bring your family and friends out for that as well. It's a great program this year, as always, and they've been practicing, and I know it's going to be a blessing to me, and I'm sure all of you as well, so be sure to bring a friend or family member with you next Sunday for our Christmas cantata as well. Read your bulletins, that's why we print them. There's a lot of information in there about the life and the goings-on of your church, so I encourage you to take that home and keep that with you, and you'll know what's happening in the life of your church this week. I'm glad you're here today. Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning.
Thank you. morning, I was reading from what's very, very comforting to all of us, and I know we know it, it's in Isaiah, it's the prophecy of the baby, but there's one tiny little part at the very beginning that I've never really paid attention to till today, and I'd like to read that to you. It's Isaiah 9, and it's just a little tiny message. It says, "Nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled. But there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory." Will you pray with me? Redeemer God, with laughter in our mouths and joy in our hearts, we draw living water from the wellspring of your salvation. For you save the lame and gather the outcast, turning their shame into praise. You gather the lost and bring the exile home at last. Who is like you in the earth? There are none who compare to you, O God. In your presence we dwell secure. In your love we find the power to transform the world. Amen.
You may be seated. Like this by Maria Barali, Ryle, Barbara Russell, to come forward for our Advent reading this morning and lighting of our Advent candles.
The three candles this week are called the Shepherd's Candles. It is amazing to think that God would use shepherds to spread the word about Jesus. Shepherds were a despised class of people and thought of as being unreliable witnesses. Yet they became effective witnesses of Jesus Christ. Unto us is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. This is good news of great joy. The candle we light today is the candle of joy, reminding us of the joy our Savior brings through life everlasting. Identify us by our traits. These are our special features. They separate us from all the other people in the world who have names like ours. It may be our laugh, possibly it is our smile, or it could be the thing we find funny, our expressions, or the sound of our voice. These traits are fixed in their memories, our hobbies, our temperament, and our relationship with them. The sum of these things and so many more conjure up the images that others recall when they hear our names.
When the name of Jesus is mentioned, what is a singular outstanding characteristic that most people connect with his name? Without a doubt, it is his love. No one has ever loved us like Jesus. Unlike our love, his love is not intimidated by pain. We avoid pain and discomfort, and righteously so. He did not avoid it. Instead, he chose it. His love is powerful. In another world, Jesus was ever so safe. There was no death, no suffering, no pain, no sorrow, no rejection or betrayal. He was wanted, powerful, cherished, and saved. Could describe his heavenly home. Yet he stepped out of his safe home and came into a hazardous world. Why? So that someday he could leave in our hazardous world a lot and live in his safe home. He gives us the power to live forever. His love caused him to chose that very thing he avoided so that he could be citizenized in his better place, a world someday. He walked on our planet in the skin of man. He understands what we feel and we think when he came into him in his prayer. He faced all of our hazards. The angel, he said, "You shall call his name Jesus." Could an angel not understand what his name would come to mean to us? It is possible the pile of sins and human hurts causes us to see the power of his love that angels could not fully appreciate. Calling his name, it brings wonder. It brings grace. It brings hope. It makes life to celebrate Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful name. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful love. Jesus the Christ. Oh God, thank you for our daily gift, our Son, Jesus. We could not praise enough. Let my joy shine forth so that those who are present us may find the star lifted. I ask for those sake, for your glory, in your name. Amen.
Thank you all very much.
So it's usually a good thing to have a label on something, right?
you go in and you buy something, you know what you're getting, right? So if we're all walking around in the world and we don't have labels on, how do people know we're Christians? Should we wear a bumper sticker on our head that says, I am a Christian? Or maybe wear a cross around our neck? Who's wearing a cross this morning? I see one there. Is that our label? Why would we wear a cross around on a necklace if we weren't a Christian? Right? But most of the time, people aren't going to know we're Christians, are they? So what do we have to do so they would know they must be a Christian? Act like one. What do Christians act like? What does a Christian act like? Huh? I don't know. I'm a pastor and I don't know what they act like. I know when they're around me, they usually act pretty good, but I hear when they get away from me, things change. Is that true for anyone out here? There, you're just the same away from here as you are in church. Good. You get the star today. So we're a Christian, and we want folks to know we're a Christian. We just have to open the door for them, right? When they're going in the store, just open the door for them. I bet there's even bad people that open the door for other people sometimes. So that's not an easy way to tell. So we're in a real predicament here, aren't we? A pickle, as we might say. You like pickles? No, I don't either. Pickles are nasty. You like pickles? Okay, so your assignment today is to get a bumper sticker, put it on your forehead that says, I'm a Christian. Huh? You'll do it? So if we just wear a cross, that'll be enough for today? No, that's not really true, because anybody can go to Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, and buy this. He went to Jared's. Now, you saw that, right? No, they stick together, too. Okay, I want you to be known as a Christian, so what do I want you to do? This is tough, isn't it? Whoa! And you've all been coming to church for a long time. How about you? You come to church to what? Learn how to be a Christian? That's part of it, right? Well, you know how people know we're Christians? Because we say things like, God has been good to me today. You ever said that to one of your friends? If you ever mentioned to someone that, hey, God was really good to me today. It's little things like that. You don't have to, as I say, take your big old Bible out and beat them over the head with it. They're going to see that you're different than the rest of the world, that you are a nice person. That you do hold doors for people, that you say please and thank you, and when someone asks you to do something, you do it without grumbling. How's that? Oh boy, it's getting tougher all the time, right? Sometimes my wife tells me to do things and I grumble. So, yeah. So those little things like that let the world know that we're different. So that's what I want to encourage you today. As we're in Advent and we're waiting for what? What's happening? We're waiting for something. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for Jesus to come back again, aren't we? So if he comes back, we've got to be ready. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these beautiful spirits you've placed within these young people. Father, I am so grateful to have them in my life, and I am so grateful to learn from them as well. Father, bless them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Off you go. Because life right now is a little simpler for them than it is for us, isn't it? And for us to be representatives of Christ in the world, It's those little things that call us out. So that's a good message for all of us today. It's time in our service to go before the Lord in prayer. We do have some prayer concerns that need lifting up today. And I know there's things on your heart that have gone unmentioned today. That God knows you and He knows where you're at. And He is ever willing and ready to hear your prayer. So here are these concerns this morning. Continue to pray for Larry Koosman. He has been moved back to Consulate Healthcare. He's actually doing physical therapy and he's been up on his feet and transferring the chair. So things are moving along. But keep Larry in your prayers. Richard Fearbend as well. He's had a bad week or so and just not feeling very well. He's under hospice care. So keep Richard in your prayers as well. A dear friend of Wendell's, Peggy, whose husband passed away on Thanksgiving Day. Keep Peggy and her family in your prayers. Kevin Wade, who had a seizure, and be going in for surgery. Christopher Folsom, Dylan's friend, died, I guess, just recently. The family of Christopher Folsom. Phyllis Carpenter, my aunt, she's still undergoing treatment for lung cancer. Myra Grove, lifting up this morning. Jim Short as well, they moved to Phoenix and he's resumed chemotherapy again, so I take it his cancer has reemerged as well. Praise and prayer. Katie Geddes is in Guatemala on a mission trip. We just thank God for her willingness to travel and share God's word. And then a prayer concern as well, Jennifer, whose cancer has returned as well. So a lot of cancer this morning in our congregation. Like I said, I know there's things that you bring this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Healing and Redeemer God, Father, you've heard our pleadings this morning where your healing touch is needed. Father, we have placed our loved ones in your hands this morning. We don't know the outcome that you have for each one of them or for us. But what we do know is our salvation is guaranteed in the blood of your Son. Father, I pray for healing in each one of these instances spoken of this morning. Father, I pray that where this tragedy and trauma has taken place in lives, that your Holy Spirit would be visible, and that those in the midst of these situations can see you mightily at work and give you the glory. Father, it seems odd for us to give glory to you in the passing of a loved one, or the diagnosis of cancer, or an accident or injury. And Father, first and foremost, we are to rejoice in your name. Father, as the message as we explore Isaiah and rejoice in all things, this morning we come to you rejoicing. We rejoice with broken hearts, with sadness and despair, but we can still sing out in joy, proclaiming you the good news. We pray today, Lord, for a broken and shattered world. As we continually hear of acts of terrorism and death and destruction, we pray that the Holy Spirit would overcome those who carry out these horrible deeds. Father, we know that darkness cannot be overcome by darkness, but it can only be overcome by light. Your Son, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. And Father, I pray that each one of us could be a glimmering sign of hope to the world as well. Father, be with us today As we share in this time of fellowship and worship, and this time of rejoicing in the Lord, our Savior. Father, we pray for brokenness in our world. We pray for strife and turmoil. We pray for relationships, even as simple as relationships within a family. Father, we pray today that you would guide us, that you would shepherd us, that we would feel your loving embrace. Father, we love you. We know you hear our prayers. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be
thy name. Thy kingdom come.
giver of everything good, Father, we return now an offering to you to use for good in the world, to help those less fortunate. In Jesus' name we pray.
Praising the Lord is pretty important to us, right?
The beautiful music we sing, the scripture readings, our call to worship, all those things bring us into community with God. Amen? Do you feel closer to God in this place?
Yes.
Closer than what? Sitting at home in your family room? God is there. I pray that you worship God there, that you praise God there. Driving into your car, I hope and pray that you praise God that you got home safely. There's people on the road today that will prevent you from getting home safely. Amen? We've got to be careful out there. You know, David was one champion of praising the Lord. Amen? The Psalms are filled. Psalm 7:17, David said, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 9, 1 and 2, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. That's what I told the children today. How do we show the world that we're Christians? That's a little more difficult than it sounds, isn't it? Are you willing to be embarrassed for God? Are you willing to be made uncomfortable in the name of God? It's not quite as bad for me now, but God used to make me really uncomfortable. Because he was nudging me. He was poking me. He was prodding me. I would say, get away from me. Leave me alone. But he kept on, and he kept on, and he kept on. Have you all experienced a similar plight in God's care? Has God pushed you out of areas of comfortable living? You know, as a pastor, I pray that you're made uncomfortable. Do you know what I'm saying in that?
Amen.
I hope God stretches you and pulls you out of your comfort zone. We are nothing in our comfort zone, are we? When are we the most effective? When we're standing out there, I was almost going to say, but naked in front of the world. But you know what I mean. Naked in the Lord, right? As I told the children, just tell someone what God has done for you today. Are you all comfortable in doing that? Let me know who's comfortable in doing that. See, not many hands go up. That's rather uncomfortable, isn't it? Do you like being uncomfortable for the Lord?
Yes.
Do your head like this. Say yes.
Yes.
Work with me here. Say yes.
Yes.
We like to be we don't. We're lying now in church. We've got to stop that. I told you, folks don't lie, not even in church. All we hear about is praising God. You know what? I'm afraid today in our world, the only time we praise God is within these four walls. What do you think?
No.
Okay, Darren, you've got to share your gold star with Marty. Apparently, he's not afraid to share his joy of the Lord outside of these four walls. But I'm telling you, for most of us, it's not quite that easy, is it? It makes us a little uncomfortable. Do we want people thinking of us, and this is sad in our world today, if we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ out of the world, how quickly are we labeled a radical? Boy, you must be one of those radicals. Apparently, Christians are supposed to keep it to themselves in today's world. Do you believe that? I think the world thinks that. As Christians, no. I stand up here every week and tell you to go out and tell someone. I'm waiting for a group of you to come to me and say, listen, the world thinks we're all nuts. It's okay. You can be a little nutty for God, can't you? It's okay. So when I tell the kids to go out and tell, can you imagine the pressure I'm putting on them? They're sitting back there. Do you know the pressure I'm putting on you by being a Christian in the world today? Now, Kat, you go to a Christian school, and I bet it's not even all that easy to do it there, right, is it? It's not. Folks, we've got to praise God. We've got to do it. We've got to do it. Isaiah in this scripture mentions our salvation three times. You think when we get to heaven, God's got the book and he's going to open it up and say, well, you praised me 32 times that year and you praised me twice that year. You told somebody about me three times in 10 years. Those can be some pretty accurate numbers, can't they? Some very convicting numbers. We are called to share the good news. Why? You're probably wondering, what does this have to do with Advent? Well, we're waiting for a baby to be born. I'm jumping ahead in the story. I'm telling you what we must do to warrant the coming again of Christ. Christmas is not about the birth 2,000 years ago, although we remember it at that time, but we're preparing for him to come back again. I have a feeling God's going to ask us, okay, you had a chance here, you had a chance there, and you swerved and you got out of it, and I made you a little uncomfortable, and you stayed there in your uncomfortableness, and then you wandered back into your comfortable place. Folks, we have no hope without Jesus. That's salvation. That is salvation. Jesus came to relieve us of our worldliness, of our brokenness, of our sinfulness. I like what Paul says in Romans 3. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of their way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. Not, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's why we need salvation. Paul saw it in those knuckleheads in his day. You all look pretty good, but you have sin. You have all fallen short. Does God have a right to be angry with us? Part of our salvation is admitting that, is admitting the truth of our sinfulness. In Proverbs 29, old King Solomon said, who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. The obvious answer is no one can say that. Pastor, what does that have to do with Christmas? That's such a time of joy. Yes, it is. Because Jesus has come and cleaned us up. And he's coming back again. That's the story of Advent. He's coming back again. We've got to be ready. Amen. I've said it for 3 weeks now. We've got to get our house in order. Amen. How is God's anger turned away from us? What's the only way we were saved from God's anger?
Jesus Christ.
There's only one place, and that's on the cross. Gosh, Pastor, why are we talking so much about the cross in Advent? We're all headed for the cross. We've got to get ready. We are headed for the cross. Jesus has gone before us. He's cleaned up our mess. So God has a right to be angry. Let's stop and think about what he really did for us on the cross. Did Jesus take away our physical death? We're all going to die, aren't we?
Yes.
Believe it or not, we're all going to die.
Amen.
Are you ready today?
Yes.
One foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel, they used to say. But what Jesus took away was our spiritual death. Think of the gift of that. We're going to die physically, but we're going to live in eternity spiritually.
Amen.
Does that give you reason to smile this morning?
Yes. Amen.
Some of you have lost loved ones recently within the last week or two. I pray that you know you will see them again if your heart is right. Amen?
Amen.
There's some folks I want to see again. How about you?
Amen.
I'm banking on them being there. Me and my little Catholic nun sister, Sister Ann, where my dad was at, standing beside my dad's bed that day, that evening that he passed, we were praying together, and a conversation broke out about who do you think we're going to see when we get there? I said, how many of us are going to say, wow, how'd you get here? What are you doing here? Or maybe they're going to look at you and say, wow, I didn't expect to see you here. And then we get there and we say, well, where's old so-and-so? Boy, he was in church every week. And man, he cut the grass at the church and he painted the trim on the church and everything else. Where's he at? Well, sorry, but he didn't make it. Working hard around the church and keeping the carpet clean and all that, that's not going to get you into heaven, is it? Some of us work ourselves to death trying to get into heaven. Can't do it, folks. Romans 5:6-9, Paul says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
What more do we need to do in here to praise God? Folks, that's the message. That's why you come to church. What I'm telling you here today is no surprise to you. You've probably heard this a million times. For a change, let's take it home with us. And not just leave it here and pick it up again next week. Do we do that? Sometimes do we just leave it here and say, God, I'll be back next week and draw from that wellspring again? Folks, the world is tough and life is rough, isn't it? I know some of you, you're struggling. Life is a struggle. Life is a series of struggles. I used to tell people before I became so mature in my spirituality that life is a series of valleys. Once in a while, you run up on a mountain and you stand there for a few minutes and then something knocks you off and you're back down the valley again. You just struggle and plod along the valley of the shadow of death, they call it. And you scrape and crawl and you get up to the top of the mountain and you get there. Oh, this is beautiful. Slap me. Down you go.
Amen.
Anyone experience that in your life? Life is a series of ups and downs, I think we can safely say, right? The word itself, salvation, cries of deliverance, prosperity, health, freedom, safety, rescue, victory. Those are all the things we feel when we're forgiven. Do you feel forgiven this morning? How many of you come to church this morning not feeling quite forgiven? This is a rough time of year for a lot of people. The hurt is real. There may not be much joy in you today in this Advent season. Someone may have hurt you or betrayed you. You may be grieving over your own faults. Anyone here have any faults? I can't raise mine. Where's Nancy? Oh, are you raising your hand for me or you? Okay. Maybe someone we know that we love dearly is going through a terrible illness right now. I know for a fact that's happening. I know some of you have lost a loved one. Christmas from now on is going to feel the loss of a loved one for you. I pray that you can find joy in that. Oops, he's gone off his rocker again. He wants me to be happy because someone I love died. No, I don't. I don't expect you to be happy in your loss, but I expect you to try to be happy and be joyful in the promise of salvation. Those words I spoke of, prosperity, rescue from disease, victory in all things. But hurt is real. Hurt is a part of our life. It's a part of us as Christians. We may be hurting, but God is always good, isn't He? Is God good to us?
Yeah.
It makes my job a lot easier when I go visit people who are really hurting and they say God is good. That's taking some of the pressure off of me. I don't have to try to convince them that God is in this. That God is in this mess. God is there for you. God is healing you. God loves you. God sent His Son for you. We're to praise God in all things. Praise Him in our prayers. We should never go to the Lord in prayer without first thanking Him. That's pretty standard practice for a prayer, right?
Amen.
When we pray, we should thank God. Even in our midst of our sorrow and our pain, grief, wherever we found ourselves. Verse 4 in the scripture told us to declare it to others. That's what I told the children about. We've got to tell others of this joy. Praise Him in your prayers. Praise Him to other people. That's the only way they're going to know. I hope you're not uncomfortable with sharing the good news of Christ with others. It's really, in some cases, you may be the only Bible someone reads. I love that. You may be the only Bible that someone reads. So today, as we go from this place, I want us to have a song in our hearts. I want to finish with a little story here. I found this on the internet. It's chicken soup of the day. Now they've got all that kind of stuff. It's called The Crooked Smile. The author of this was James C. Brown, a medical doctor. And it's all the way back to 1999. But it's sure tells a story of when we can praise God even in the pain. He tells a story of a 5-year-old little girl, Mary. She was being rolled into an MRI room one day, and the doctor was trying to figure out how will this little 5-year-old girl handle this MRI and being still and all of that, because there were some things going on. She has a brain tumor, but she had also lost both of her parents and her home. Her world was turned upside down. So the medical staff was wondering, how is Mary going to react to this? So they put her in the machine, they slide her into the machine, told her she had to be perfectly still, and they start the procedure, and they're watching her on the monitor, and her lips are moving. So they had to stop what they were doing. They pulled her out and said, Mary, now you can't talk while you're in there. You've got to be quiet. She said, okay, I'll be quiet. I won't talk anymore. So they put her back in, they get started, they're watching her on the monitor, and her mouth is moving. It's moving. So in frustration, they stop the machine again, pull her out, and said, now Mary, I told you, you can't talk while you're in the machine. It makes the pictures blurry. And she says, I wasn't talking. And they're like, well, we see you. She said, well, I was singing. Jesus loves me. I sing Jesus loves me when I'm happy. You didn't tell me not to sing. You told me not to talk. In the midst of her fright, all the things that she had been through, a 5-year-old child gave the staff in that room a life lesson. It says here there was not a dry eye in the room. They looked at each other feeling a little silly. They were speechless. The little girl could sing joy in her heart, despite what she had been through. Can we take a lesson from that today?
Amen.
Those medical professionals that day learned the lesson. So in all we do, we praise the Lord. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we've been saved by the blood of the Lamb, we are to rejoice. He loves us. He died on a cross for us. He rose again from the dead. That's the part I like. There's hope for us. Folks, he'll save you if you put your faith in him. The message for today is sing joyfully, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for this message from Isaiah. Father, in all we do, like little Mary, I pray that we would give you praise and glory and honor you in all that we do. When we're made uncomfortable, Lord, I pray that you would give us strength and courage to be the Christian, to be the one called by God. Father, bless us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Him, O sing a song of Bethlehem. Father God, as we leave this place, let us rejoice in the Lord always. Father, go with us now. Keep us safe. Keep us shining the light in the world. We love you in Christ's name. Thank you.
Father, be with us and help us to be your light in a very dark world.